The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew to Galilee. He left Nazareth and went to live in Capernaum by the sea, in the region of Zebulun and Naphtali, that what had been said through Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled. Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way to the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who sit in darkness have seen a great light. On those dwelling in a land overshadowed by death, light has arisen. From that time on, Jesus began to preach and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." As he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and his brother Andrew. Casting a net into the sea, they were fishermen. He said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. He walked along from there and saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed him. He went around all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and curing every disease and illness among the people. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. There's different ways to communicate information, and the church, God himself uses this as well. You can have explanations where, like someone might, like a teacher might say, okay, well this is where snow comes from. There's the water, it goes up, and it's up in the sky, the temperatures drop, it freezes into crystals, and so that's an explanation. But there's also another way of communicating that the church and the liturgy especially leans heavily on, and that's imagery. Imagery. And so that's why we have all these images up on the walls, a stained glass. It's imagery that speaks to us about truths without saying a word, so to speak. And the crucifix is as well as a massive image. The fact that the altar is in such a prominent spot in the middle of the sanctuary with flames around it, and we have this starry sky back behind the tabernacle representing heaven. This is all this imagery that speaks to us and teaches us and reaches into our soul without using words. Now, what I wanted to highlight here is this one image. Actually, it's in words, but it's an image that should invoke something visual in our minds that's being used in the scripture here, first from Isaiah 700 years before Christ, speaking about this people who sit in darkness. This land of Zebulun, land of Naphtali, beyond the Jordan. They're sitting in darkness. I mean, darkness is a real visual thing, or lack thereof, actually. I used a similar image a couple weeks ago, and some said, yeah, that really helped a lot. So I want to lean into that. But in contrast to darkness is light. I mean, back in the early church, the way they often spoke about, before, as things are still coming together and they're still really beginning to understand what this faith means, they're using real clear imagery that doesn't have a ton of detail in it, but tells us so much about we are people of light and the world is a place of darkness. Well, that's not 100% true. There is light out there too. But from a spiritual side, it's communicating something about the reality that's out there and the reality of what we receive, light versus darkness. And what I wanted to do was just go through, I just did this. There's two or three of you here that are in the OCIA class, so you might get, this is a little bit of a repeat from what we had on Thursday night. But what happens with, what is this light that we carry inside of us? And there's the fullest and most spectacular image that we have in the liturgy that speaks about light versus darkness happens at the Easter Vigil. Some of you have been to an Easter Vigil. Some of you may have not. It's the highest, most in-depth, most layered up with symbolism and reality, the sacraments, liturgy that we have in the Catholic Church. It takes place on the Saturday night leading into Sunday of Easter. And it really plays off this light and darkness thing. So the Mass starts when? After dark. The sun is down. You're not even allowed to start it while the sun's still up. I mean, some people do, but anyways. And everyone's outside. Now, here in New York, there's all kinds of lights outside. But really, the idea is that you're outside in the darkness. And that, in a certain way, is the world that we live in. It was the world back then that Christ came into. Same world. And the very first imagery that you get before even the sign of the cross is made and before anything, we're all outside, is a fire is lit. It's not super big here because otherwise the fire department would come and shut down our liturgy, but it's a fire, and it's not just like a couple candles. It's sizable. Have you been here, seen that? And it's this fire representing the fire, the light of Christ, and the light of the resurrection. This fire in the midst of the darkness, in a certain sense, came out of nowhere. And then, as just with very few words, the fire is blessed. The Paschal candle, the Easter candle, which is over here right now, which we have out during the Easter season and at baptisms, the Easter candle, the brand new one, big one, hasn't been burned down yet. That candle is lit off of the fire and blessed, and the priest comes up to the steps while everyone's still outside. By the way, everyone also has a candle in their hand, a small one, unlit. And as the priest is standing there on the front step, turns back towards the people and sings, chants out loud, Lumen Christi. Then everyone responds, Deo gratias, light of Christ. Thanks be to God, light of Christ. So now there's some light. And this is the light, the candle really is meant to be Christ, who then processes in, the priest brings that the Easter candle, this big thing, it's like as tall as I am, into the middle of the church. Everyone begins to fill in, still their candles are not yet lit, fills into their places, and he sings it again, but at a higher tone, Lumen Christi, and everyone responds, Deo gratias. And then the acolytes light the flame, take their own candles, light them off the Easter candle, and then light everyone's candles. And so now we have, and by the way, inside the church, all the lights are off. I forgot to add that important detail. Pretty much, there's a couple on just so no one trips and sues the church. But the candles, that now it's all, the church is illuminated all from the light of the candle that each of you is holding in your hands right here close to your heart. And there's one exception. Those who are going to be baptized that night are not allowed to light their candles yet, because they haven't yet received fully the light of Christ. Sure they have. They've been, no, just wait. And we come, there's one more time where the chant happens again, and the Mass goes on in darkness, and we go through all the Old Testament readings, and all the lights are still turned off until we get to the moment when we go shift from Old Testament readings, everything before Christ, to the New Testament readings that are proclaiming the resurrection of the Christ, and that's when all the lights come on, and that's when the music fires up, and we sing the glory, and the bells ring, and we're all, now we can all see by the light of Christ, and those who do not yet have their candles lit, who are not yet baptized, are able to see because of the light that you are bringing and carrying. That is a very important image. The light that you bring is meant to be for those who don't have the light. I mean, what happens when you're living in darkness, like here in the Zebulun and Naphtali, there's people sitting in darkness. When you're in darkness, you really don't have a good idea what's around you. You can't see it. There's dangers, there's a cliff, there's a wall over there, and you run into it. And what happens in our life when, metaphorically speaking, we don't have light, we can't see what's going on, you run into stuff. You get hurt and damaged in ways that don't need to happen. And there's, you think there's boogeymen out there that really aren't even there. I don't know, I'm afraid of that. I don't know, it could be dangerous. And it's like, because you got beat up. And then there's also boogeymen out there that you can't see, but they see you. And they're taking advantage of you. What do you think ideology is? Where does ideology flourish? In the darkness. It can't stand up to light. When you bring the light of the gospel to ideologies, they get illuminated and they wither. Right now, in a very extreme fringe of the Catholic sphere, online, there's anti-Semitism cropping up. That's dark. But I'm not too worried about it because I know the light of the gospel and says love your neighbor as yourself will win out over that, because that is far stronger than some of the darkness that's being spewed out there. Now, it's way worse in non-Catholic areas. And we're called to bring the light there. Now, back to the liturgy. When those who are not baptized come forward to be baptized, you remember, just think back, the last two Sundays we preached about this. Here the other padres did too. When Jesus was baptized, what happened? The sky, the heaven opens up, signifying that's the promised land we're going to be called to through baptism. The Holy Spirit descends down upon Christ. That's going to happen at Pentecost too. They're going to be illuminated by this flame that time. And Christ in his, not in his divinity, because Christ is already completely divine. He didn't need the Holy Spirit to come on him. But in his humanity, which he also was 100%, the Holy Spirit comes in, is now dwelling in that humanity of Christ. And any time that we are baptized, the exact same thing happens. The heavens are opened up, the Holy Spirit comes down and sets a fire in our hearts because the Holy Spirit himself is dwelling there. If we had eyes to see, our physical eyes don't see it, we might not necessarily have an emotional experience of it, but we know that if we had supernatural glasses that we could put on, we would see the Holy Spirit come down and just light up their hearts and dwell there and stay there and be in communion with them. That's what happens at baptism. And then the Father, just like in Jesus' baptism, looks down upon this man or woman that's standing there and says, "This is my beloved daughter. This is my beloved son. Now you've got light because you know who you are and what your life is about." Then they get to have lit candles and bring those candles out and join the rest of us giving light in the darkness. Peter and Andrew, they're on the lake shore. We read in the gospel. I'm just going to close with this, just this connection with the gospel. They're on the shore. They would have already known something about Jesus, because Andrew, we know from the Gospel of John, had already met Jesus down by the Jordan, and now he's back, he's fishing with his brother again, but now Jesus comes by, it's Jesus. And so they already know who this is, but they haven't started to follow him yet. And he locks eyes with them. He says, "Come, follow me. Let go of that boat." And they do. And the same thing happens with James and John. They let go. They're going to come back and use those boats again later, because they're going to take them out in the water and get them from here to there. And so it's not like they're losing the boat. But the boat now is becoming in service of something much greater and grand. And eventually they won't be fishing for fish at all. And so sometimes the same God comes along and he locks eyes with us and says, "Let go of your boat. But it's snowing outside, and I don't want don't worry about it. I got you covered. And you're going to come back anyways. Just let go of your YouTube shorts and your Instagram for 20 minutes, because I've got a mission for you." And it might be bringing light to someone else in your apartment, or someone down the street, or on your trip to the bodega and back, to lock eyes with a person behind the counter and show that they're respected and appreciated for the effort they made to get out there and go to work. We're meant to spread this light that we have. Now, you might look at your own light, that own candle, and that thing's just barely hanging in there. It's like smoldering. It's just like just a tiny little fanning into a flame. That's what we're called to do. That's what Paul in the letter to Titus spoke about this, or to Timothy. Timothy was a bishop and that was ordained by Paul, and Paul says, fan into a flame the gift that you have been given by the imposition of my hands. See, Paul, in the ordination, imposes his hands on and says, communicating this gift of the Holy Spirit. And we need to do that same thing sometimes. We need to, the smoldering candle inside of us really needs to be fanned and given oxygen so that it expands out into a whole bonfire. And that's what God is asking us to do, and because he knows what the darkness is around us. And you don't have to worry about where that light hits. You know, light is omnidirectional, really. I mean, you turn on a light and it goes in all directions. You really have to work hard to kind of focus it in one way, with a giant lens on it. We can do that too. But what a joy, though, to be able to see those who are walking in darkness see. What a gift to be called to be able to do that. That is the gift and the mission that you have received by your baptism. As a baby or as an adult, for some of those who baptized as an adult, the heavens opened up as the pathway for you. That's where you're ultimately called to. The Holy Spirit comes down, is dwelling in you, as long as you don't shoo him away. If you do, that's what confession is for. And through immersing ourselves in the scriptures, in the liturgy, and receiving communion, in our prayer life, and in giving the faith, that is where, in spreading our faith, sharing our love with our relatives, our family members, our loved ones, and our neighbors at work, where you spend most of your time, work. That's a big place to be sharing the faith. You have to figure out how to do it if you're in a big corporate thing so you don't get fired. But that's the mission. And the Holy Spirit came down you and is dwelling in you. Fan it into flames. So we'll continue on here with this Mass, asking for that gift to be light in darkness. There is so much darkness out there, and we can be light. And the darker it gets, the more and brighter your small light, your medium-sized light, or your big light will shine.